Welcome to XP Ministries. This recording is under copyright laws and cannot be replicated. This file is licensed for one user only and cannot be duplicated without written permission. We pray that this recording will bless and empower you.
Okay, if you want to turn in your manuals to Lesson 13, we are going to study for a while today about the fire of God, which is one of the manifestations of the glory. And I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew 3, starting in verse 1 through to 12. Now, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem was going out to him, and all Judea and all the district around the Jordan, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham for our father.' For I say to you that from these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham. The axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me, I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Now, what I want to point out here is that we see three baptisms mentioned in this one chapter. We have John's baptism, which was a baptism in water, identifying with repentance. And I believe it was a repentance from turning from a religious mindset into the kingdom mindset, because he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So repentance actually means a change of mindset, a turning of direction in the way that you're thinking. So he's saying, turn away from the religious or institutionalized thinking that they had lived in into kingdom mindset. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I believe that we're still called today to walk in that kingdom mindset. And so people were coming to him, confessing their sins, being baptized in water. And that was for the remission of their sins. And so that was a type of that. He was preparing them in that way. But he said, "There is one coming after me who is mightier than me. And he's going to baptize you with two baptisms. One is the baptism with the Spirit, and the other is the baptism with fire." Now, from what I can see in the scripture, the baptism with fire, corporately, has not come to the body of Christ yet. Jesus told his disciples when he left, he said, "Tarry in Jerusalem." And he said, "You will be baptized with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now." He didn't say you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He said, "You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now." So they went and they tarried, they prayed, they waited on God. And then in Acts chapter 2, you'll see that they were all together in one place, and suddenly there was a noise from heaven, like the sound of a mighty wind, rushing wind, and it came and filled the whole house, and it says that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say they were all filled with fire. Now, we know that they were baptized with the Holy Spirit because they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. All of them were. That's the baptism with the Spirit. The word baptize or baptizo in the Greek means to be fully immersed. It's not just a little dribble. It's not like a little dab of water on your forehead or something. It is a full immersion. It means fully immersed or completely filled. Now, they were all completely filled or immersed in the Holy Spirit, but they weren't completely filled with fire. Although there was the appearance of what appeared as tongues of fire resting upon them. Resting upon is not baptism. I believe that the appearance of the tongues of fire that were resting upon them on that day of Pentecost was a prophetic foretaste of what was going to come to the corporate church in the last days. I don't believe that we have seen yet in the history of the church the corporate baptism with fire, but it is coming very soon. Now, I want you to turn to Isaiah. Ho! Isaiah 60. This is our opening scripture that we had for the Glory School. It says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come." When you look up that word light in the Hebrew, it means this. It means illumination that comes from fire. Arise and shine, for your fire has come. It could say, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, gross darkness the peoples, but the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. In other words, people are going to actually see the glory on the church, on believers in these last days. It'll actually be a visible thing that will be seen upon believers. Nations will come to your light, or it could be to your fire, and kings to the brightness of your rising. So there is an illumination that is going to come upon us in physical appearance, an illumination that comes from fire. Shabbat. I don't know of a nation yet that sees that kind of glory on the church. Because I don't think it's come yet. Now, let me propose something to you. I think this will excite you. What I sense the Holy Spirit has shown me is this. When you are born again, the Spirit comes inside of you, and your spirit man is already full of glory. If you were to literally pull off the cloak of the physical body, the cloak of the soul, and look at your raw spirit man, you would be in fullness of glory. You would be seen as a glorious one. That's what Jesus looked like when he was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration. What they were seeing was Jesus in his spirit man. Whoa! And he was full of light and brilliance and glory. That's what they were seeing. That's what the nations are going to see on the church. Now, the baptism of the Spirit came. So the Spirit came on the church 2,000 years ago, and that's what causes us to be born again. Without the Spirit, there's no regeneration. So the Spirit of God, that which is born of the Spirit, is Spirit. So if you're born again, it's because the Spirit of God has come in you. When you're fully immersed in the Spirit, that's what we read about in Acts 2. That's you're empowered to go and preach the gospel. When the Holy Spirit came upon the church 2,000 years ago, he has been with us ever since to increase the life of the kingdom in the earth. And so we've gone forth with the gospel message for 2,000 years. We're expanding that message. Now we're at a place where almost every single nation, people, group, tribe, and tongue has heard the gospel because of the Holy Spirit that has empowered believers. Okay? So he's been in the earth doing it. That's what the baptism with the Spirit has created, that work. So he's been busy building the church. But the church is hidden inside of the lives of believers. We are somewhat hidden still. The day of our rising has not appeared yet. He's been seeping us into the nations. We've been getting in there. We've been out there preaching. We are being sprinkled. There's more believers. Do you know that there's actually more believers in the earth now than there are in heaven, according to statistics? It's been growing exponentially. There's been more people come into the kingdom in the last 10 years than there ever has in all of church history. In fact, I think for the last 100 years, the records of the amount of people that have come to the Lord is more than ever in all the rest of the years of church history. There's more now on the earth than there are in heaven. And most of them are in developing nations and that, but it's going to come a big explosion to North America and to the Western nations as well. I know that. Okay. Okay, so the Holy Spirit's baptism then came, empowered us to witness. We've been out there preaching the gospel. So the seed of the word has been going out, and that little leaven has been leavening a lump for the Lord's glory. And the day is going to come, though, I believe, that this baptism of fire that is promised, that is primarily for this, for burning up the dross, for getting rid of all the impurities. I cry out all the time saying, oh God, I want a perfect heart. I want you to remove the impurities from me. Get rid of all the junk on the inside of me. Get rid of the yuck. I don't want it. I don't want flesh showing up. I don't want that. I want to walk in your spirit. I want to walk in purity, in the radiance of your glory. Oh God, send the fire to burn up the dross in me. I want to prophesy right now and propose to you that the day is coming with a baptism of fire that's going to come to the corporate body, just like the corporate work of the Spirit came to those in the upper room and spread to the whole world, that there is a time where there is going to be a place where the baptism of fire comes, and it's going to supernaturally burn up the dross so that the flesh and its work is going to be burned right out of us. You wouldn't be able to sin if you tried when this happens. And this radiant glory of the church is going to arise and shine, for your light has come. You see, when the dross gets burned up, then the life of the Spirit's going to emerge, and you will be seen for who you really are, according to your spirit man. And it's going to happen corporately, and that's why Isaiah, that's what he saw. He saw a time coming when the covenant people of God would rise up, that they would arise and they would literally shine because the glory had risen upon them. They were released so that the glory actually appeared upon them, a brilliant light in the midst of a dark world. And we can start groaning for that and crying for that now, because it is going to happen. And the fire of God's presence, when the baptism of fire comes, and you can cry out for it individually. If you see it, you can have it. If you see the fire, you can have it. If you see this in the scripture and you want it for your own life, you can begin to cry out and receive it by faith, saying, I receive that fire now. Do you know that David reached in to the promises that were set apart for another day, and he reached in and took it? Inside of a time that it wasn't even appointed for? Whoa! If you see it, you can have it. And you can reach in for that fire and say, I'm going to drink of this fire. I'm receiving this fire. I'm taking the fire. I won't be satisfied until it manifests, but I've got it by faith right now. I'm applying the fire to my physical body. I'm taking the fire for my soul, for my emotions, for my mind, for my imagination. I'm taking the fire, oh God. I want the fire. And you start taking that by faith, and that fire will begin to do a work in you that will release more glory. I'm preaching to myself right now. I haven't actually preached this message for a long time. And it's like I'm getting fired up right now to pray for this baptism of fire. And you can have anything that you see in the scripture, you can have as an individual. But there's something coming to the corporate body where literally every Christian on the face of the earth is going to arise and shine because their light has come. There is a season coming for this corporate baptism of fire. Whoa! Oh, don't you just love it? We want it, Lord. You know, he's dropping nice little feathers right now and nice little gemstones, but oh, wait till he drops the torches of fire. Bring it on, Lord. Woo! Okay, now turn to Zechariah chapter 2. Haba. And verse 5, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but this is one of my favorite portions of Scripture. We actually pray this over our ministry on a daily basis because the fire is a protection around you as well. And while I'm prophesying concerning the end times, I want to say this. There's going to be so much fire around the church that even if opposers to the gospel and the kingdom try to touch us, they will be met with this circle of fire. You can put this circle of fire around your households, around your children, around your finances. This fire is a protection. In fact, you can declare this. If you see it, you can have it. It says in verse 5, "For I, declares the Lord, will be a wall of fire around her, and I will be the glory in the midst of her." You can say that over your children. You can decree that over your bank accounts. You can decree that over your households. You can decree that over your ministries. God is a fire around you. He's a fire of protection. He will consume and devour the enemies that try to come after you with his fire. And he'll be glory in the midst of you. He is glory in the midst of you. Your spirit, man, right now is full of glory. And the fire is coming. Glory to God. Now, there's different kinds of fire in the Bible that we read about. There is the refiner's fire, that we see in Malachi 3, 1 to 4. And it says that suddenly the Lord is going to come to his temple. And he's going to come as a refiner's fire. Now, where else did you see a suddenly in the Bible? You see a suddenly on the day of Pentecost, right? When he came with the baptism of the Spirit, it was a suddenly. Now, in Malachi, he said suddenly he's going to come to his temple as fire. That's another confirmation to show you that a corporate baptism is coming. The baptism of fire, he's going to suddenly come. One moment he won't be here, and the next moment he'll be here as fire. And it says that he is going to purge the sons of Levi with fire and as fuller's soap. We are going to be so cleaned up. And it says the sons of Levi, who is the priesthood, and we now are the royal priesthood, will bring right offerings to him. Glory to God. The refiner's fire. Now turn to Malachi. Oh man, am I getting excited about this message. Wow. Okay. Now Malachi 3 speaks about this refiner's fire. But let's look at Malachi 4. For those who do not receive the refiner's fire and yield to the refiner's fire that refines us so that we bring right offerings to him and so that the glory manifests in our life. If we resist that fire, and do you know that every move of God can be resisted? Even when the Holy Spirit is being poured out, there was many who resisted him in the midst of outpourings. When the outpouring of the fire comes, you can resist it just like in any other revival. You can resist the revival if you choose to. That's why we have to have a discerning heart. And God comes in ways that you do not expect him. But we are going to be people of fire. But you can resist that movement. He allows you to have your will. If you don't want the refiner's fire, he'll pass by you. If you resist him, he'll resist you in it too. He won't bring it to you. But for those who resist the refiner's fire, there's what is called the consuming fire. Now, I would rather submit to the refiner's fire than the consuming fire. It says in Hebrews, our God is a consuming fire. In Malachi chapter 4, it says this, "For behold, the day is coming." This is a done deal. It is coming. It's already marked to happen. "Burning like a furnace, and all," everyone say all,
"all,
the arrogant and every evil doer will be chaff." Now we're not just talking about the chaff in our life here. He's saying the people who are evildoers and who are arrogant will become the chaff. He's going to burn them up. Yike. I think we need more fear of the Lord in the church. "And the day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But For you who fear my name, for the ones who have gone through the refiner's fire, the ones who have taken the baptism with fire, the sun, and it's S-U-N, the fire, the sun's a big ball of fire, the fire of righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall, and you will tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day which I am preparing, says the Lord of hosts. We have a heart for those that have been exploited in the sex trade in that, and I also have a heart for the perpetrators, and I have a heart for the cartel leaders. I have a heart for them because they are deceived and they need to get saved. And God is going to give them an opportunity to get saved, to repent, and to turn to Jesus. But I tell you, if they do not repent, if they do not turn to God's way, if they do not yield to Him on the day of visitation, then the day is coming when the wicked will be ashes under the soles of our feet. They will be burned up like chaff. Whatever way we look at it, we win. We're going to go out and bring in as much harvest as we can, calling people to turn to Jesus Christ. But if they do not turn, the victory is still ours. They will not persist in evil. The day is coming when they will be taken out. So we have a big job to do, to go and bring them in, to get them to repent. But the day is coming when every evil doer that resists the grace and the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ will be put to fire. Wow. Okay. Then there's the fire of revelation. Sometimes when there's a lot of revelation, in fact, in Supernatural 1, we had lots of visitation of fire in that meeting. And we had, it was so thick sometimes. You could just see the smoke and smell it, and it was just amazing. But sometimes when there's lots of revelation being released, you can actually smell the fire. There's a fire of revelation. It illumines the heart of the Lord, and illumines truth. Revelation 1:14, talking about Jesus, it says, His head and His hair were white, like white wool, like snow, and His eyes were like a flame of fire. The eyes are the seer part, the revelatory part of a person. It's symbolic of the revelatory dimension. And there is a fire of revelation. Then there's illuminating fire that the Bible talks about in Nehemiah and Psalms 105:39, where the fire illumines things, opens things up so that you can see. There's the fire of protection that we read about in Zechariah. There's the fire of purging and consecration that we read about in another lesson on out of Isaiah 6. And then there's the fire of love and passion that we read about in Song of Songs 8, verses 6 and 7. The fire of His love, the fire of His passion for us. And many waters cannot quench it. It can't be quenched. So this is a fire of love and passion. Okay, what does the fire do in our life? What are the qualities of the fire? Why would we want the fire? First of all, as we said earlier, it refines and it purifies us. We all want that, right? It says in Psalm 18:8, Psalm 97:3, and Deuteronomy 9:1-3, it says that the fire devours the Lord's adversaries, burns them up, consumes them. You don't want to be an adversary of the Lord. The fire convicts hypocrites. Isaiah 33:10-7. How many of you have felt the burning when you've been in sin, or you've crossed the line, or you said something that you don't really mean, and you can just kind of feel it. It's almost like the fire of conviction hits you. We want more of that. It purges believers from sin, like it did Isaiah, so it'll purge you from sin. It tests our work. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that every work done will be tested by fire. If it's of the Lord, the fire will test it and it will remain. Don't ever despise a good test. And, you know, fiery afflictions aren't always the easiest to go through, but it'll test your faith and it'll test your work, because if it's of God, it'll stand when the fire's over. And if it's not of Him, who wants it anyways? You know, I've had people say to me, you know, well, all, you know, fire's gonna go to your work. And I thought, bring it on. Bring it on. Because if there's anything I believe or anything I'm doing that can be burned up, let it burn now. Let it burn right away. Just have, let's have continual fire, just testing everything, because I only want what's of Him. So don't be afraid to ask for this fire. You know, you say, oh, well, my heart. Well, it's better than hurting later. You know, it'll test each man's work to see if it's of God or if it's of the flesh. And if it's of your own self, who wants it anyways? Let it burn. I wouldn't want it if it's of me. I want what's of God. Test it with fire. Okay, fire gives light. When you sit around a fire, it gives light and warmth, doesn't it? How many of you have seen the DVD of Signs and Wonders in Puerto Rico, where it's got the angel dancing around the fire? If you get that DVD, either at the book table out here or online, it's amazing. It was taken on a person's cell phone. We interviewed the people that actually saw the angel and were there at the campfire. But it was around a campfire, this angel shows up. You can actually see it in the video, dancing around the fire and clapping. It's clapping and celebrating God. You can actually see the video of it. Anyways, fire gives light. The fire expresses God's wrath and judgment. Do you know in Revelation 18, it says that Babylon will be burned? Just in an hour, everything's going to burn up. The whole world monetary system of buying, selling, trading, it's all going to collapse and burn up in an hour. So don't put your trust in it. It's going to all burn up with fire. And it says the kings and the merchants and everything, they're all going to lament over it and say, oh, it's all smoke, it's all burned up. You know, it's a judgment of God. It's going to burn up the whole system. And we'll be standing on the shore saying, yay! You know, and I'll share this in another lesson, but I just want to say is that, you know, when you're kingdom people and you have your sight on the kingdom and you have been tithers and givers, and I'll talk about this later, but tithing, when you give the Lord the first and the best, you realize that it puts all your provisional needs under His care. It's like heaven's tax when you look at it that way. It's like you are looked after in heavenly dimension provision when the first and the best goes to Him. I have so many believers arguing about that. I even say, well, you know, tithings of the Old Testament is this, and yeah, I don't know if you have to tithe on the gross or that. And I thought, oh my gosh, you don't have the heart. You don't have a kingdom heart yet. You don't understand kingdom economy, because when you're in love with Jesus, you just want to give Him the first and the best. It's not about 10%. No, give him. Nine tithes, whatever, you know, just give Him the first and the best, because He is worthy. Don't give Him the crumbs off the table. Don't see how little you can give. See how much you can give Him, because He's so worthy, you know. But when you tithe, what you're doing is you're being marked for kingdom economy. And every offering that you give, it's being stored up in heaven. Every time you've ever given anything, and some of you, you're a very generous group of people here. And I just know that you have been so faithful in your giving. I can feel it in the Spirit. It's what the Father's revealed to me. And some of you have given very sacrificially. You haven't had much, and you've given sacrificially. Do you know that every time you give, it's being recorded in heaven? When Jesus was in the earth, he sat across from the treasury and actually watched people give their offerings, how much and how they gave it. And He said, the rich gave out of their abundance, but look at this little widow. She gave everything she had. He knew that. He knew all that. And God sits in the treasury and He looks at what you give, the sacrifice of your giving. He looks at the greatness of what you give and the sacrifice that is. He takes note of it. He is a master accountant. He has track of every single thing you've ever given. And in the end times, when the world's economy collapses, your economy doesn't collapse because you've already sown into it for years. You're going to live in such supernatural vision, provision. I can hardly wait. Do you know that Israel got all that was owed to them? They had been in Egypt under heavy taskmasters, and they had been mistreated, and there was money owed to them for the work that they did, but Egypt didn't pay it. Do you know that they left with the plunder of Egypt? Do you know that we're going to have the plunder of everything that falls apart in the world system? We're going to have it all, but not only that, the heaven will open for us and give us everything that we need directly from heaven. Israel had bread from heaven, water from heaven, quail from heaven. Everything that they asked for, they got. It was only when they murmured and complained about what they didn't have that they got into trouble. They could have just kept asking and God would have rained it down out of heaven. They asked for bread, they got bread. They asked for water, they got water. You know, they got everything that they needed and everything they asked for. They could have actually asked for more because the heavens were open to them because they were covenant people. We never have to fear the judgment in the last days. So many Christians walk in fear. They hope they're going to get raptured before it happens. And whether we do or not, I don't care. I'm ready either way because it doesn't matter if I live here or in heaven, I live good. I can live here in the midst of judgment, hard times in the world. It doesn't matter because I'm under a column of heavenly glory, so I have a good life whether I'm here or there. It doesn't matter. Do you understand that? Wow. I'll review that again later. I love it. Okay. The fire restores the fear of the Lord in us, ignites the fear of the Lord in us. And all the scripture verses are in here for you to look at. Ignites believers' hearts with passion. Sometimes I just feel the burning passion of the Lord fill my heart. You know, I've got a burning passion of the Lord now to reach out to those who are suffering and those that are afflicted. I cry when I think about it because it burns on the inside of me. I can't stop it. I can't help it. I love the body. I've spent a lot of my Christian walk just serving the body and getting them all nice and plump and fat with all kinds of nice revelation and stuff like that. And I love the body and I love serving the body. I won't stop, but there's something going on in my heart right now. I feel the cries. I feel the pain of the afflicted that are out there. I've just got to go. It's burning on the inside of me. And that's why as a ministry, we're making plans to mobilize the body of Christ into the harvest fields and into mission fields and things like that to help fulfill the cries of the suffering and the needy. It's burning on the inside of me. That's what the fire will do for you. It gives witness to God's presence. Sometimes the fire will come. We've had it in glory schools where people actually feel the fire corporately. They can just feel it, and it's the presence of God. Their bodies feel it. We've had, in our very first glory school, we had people feel the fire in their hands, almost like their hands became flames of fire. They felt it so strong. It softens and melts. The fire can soften your heart. If you want your heart to be softened. Do you know that the scripture says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart? That's a tough one, isn't it? Like, how many of you have thought, like, wow, that wasn't very nice of God to do that? Poor Pharaoh, he never even had a chance because God hardened his heart. And I used to be disturbed about that. You know, my heart of mercy would rise up. That poor Pharaoh, you know, like, God, he just needed to get saved. But the Lord showed me something about his fire. And he showed me about the substances of, like, clay, for instance, and wax. They're two different substances. But if you put the warmth of the sun, or if you put both of those substances into fire, one of them will harden. And one of them will soften. The same fire that melts the wax will harden the clay, dependent on the substance. The fire of God, when it manifests, can soften a heart that wants to be softened, or it can harden a heart that wants to remain hard. The same fire, the same sun that shines on a piece of clay, that hardens the clay, that same sun will melt the wax. So yes, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. At the same time, he softened Moses. He softened Aaron. He softened their heart towards him. The same miracle-working fire of God had different effects on those that were in his presence at the same time, saw the same miracles, different influence. God softened Moses' heart. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Why? His presence has different effects on different people. Okay. A fire is a wonder. We see Moses at the burning bush. The fire appears. It's a theophany of God. It was a wonder, a sign and a wonder. The fire can be a sign and a wonder. In the Azusa Street revival, people saw the fire burning up the building, but there was no physical fire. But it was there, even so much so that the fire engines came out, the fire department came out. We had that happen a number of years ago up in Canada. We were planning for a conference. Get this, the name of it was called Wind and Fire. And it was supposed to be a four-day conference, but it turned into a 21-day revival. It set the whole city on fire for 3.5 years. We had revival for 3.5 years. And but anyways, we were preparing in our home at the time for these meetings, and I had the intercessors there, and we were praying. And our home was like a two-story home. There was a an open two-story ceiling with a balcony up on the extra set, and we were in the bottom of the house praying, when all of a sudden we smelt this fire, and it smelt like it was coming down off the balcony. It was fresh fire. It was like the house was on fire. So I got really concerned. We all said, there's fire, there's fire. And I said to one of the people, I said, you go down and check in the basement. I'm going to go up where I smell the fire here. I ran up the stairs, didn't see anything at the top of the balcony, went into the kitchen thinking maybe I was burning something on the stove. And there was nothing. We checked every single room and there was nothing. But the smell of the fire was still in the house. And so we went down and we continued praying, never cluing in yet that this is a sign, right? We didn't clue in. I said, oh, just a minute, what's going on here? It's stronger. And then we see a fire truck go down the street. I said, oh my gosh, maybe our neighbor's house is on fire. And that's what we're smelling. So I run outside and there's nothing on fire everywhere, but I see the fire truck down the street. So I go running down the street and I say, is there a fire? Is there a fire? And, you know, I'm trying to figure out, what am I smelling? Because I thought maybe our house was on fire. And he said, well, I don't know. We just got a call that there was a fire on Badger Avenue. And so we came, but we can't see any fire. And then I remembered about the Azusa Street revival. So I went back and I said, you guys, I think this is the Lord. It's like just like the Azusa Street revival. And then we went back into prayer and we had our brochure out on the floor in front of us and it said wind and fire. I thought, oh my gosh. And that was the night that the Lord revealed to us that we were going to have revival. We'd been praying for revival for years in that city. It was such a difficult city to minister in because it was very oppressed, and it was it had poverty, occultism. It was the most It was the largest unemployment rate in all of North America during the renewal. It was just a really difficult place. All the churches were like struggling. There wasn't one thriving church. And we worked that city for 17 years. Believe for revival for 17 years. Interceded with all kinds of apostolic mandates and stuff like that. And now the Lord says, okay, here's the revival that you've been waiting for. And it came with fire. And so we knew that night that this is what we've been waiting for. We went into the meetings. The very first night of the meetings, the whole building smelled of fire. And the janitor of the church that we had rented was in a panic, phoned the fire department, went around, was looking for fire everywhere, and there was no fire. But that was the first night of the glory. We had 21 nights of so much revival. People were saved, healed, manifestations of the glory. We had the winds visit, the tornado winds that came into the room. One night I had my skirt twirl around with wind for over an hour. It was just an amazing night. The first night of the revival, the parents of many of the Christians in the area brought their children, made their teens come. The teens didn't want to go. There was no teen movement in the city before this revival hit. But the parents made the kids come to the meeting, said, you've got to go at least one of these, go, and then after you go to one, then you don't have to go to the other nights. And so there they were, all the kids in the back, chomping on their gum, looking at the ceiling. They didn't want to be there, and they let you know it. Until Holy Spirit showed up. And they started smelling the fire, and they were looking for it and everything. And then they saw the elder of the church got drunk in the Holy Spirit, thrown out of a seat, literally rolling down the aisle. And he's a very conservative person. And then they all ran up to the front because everybody started getting drunk and the wind started blowing. And they were the last ones to leave that night at 4 a.m. Those revival meetings were so amazing. We literally had to put people, load them onto trolley carts and dump them into their cars because they were so laid out in visions, and they'd sometimes stay in their cars for hours before they came out of their visions and stuff like that. The next night, the young people did not go to school. They phoned in sick and landed up in the lineup between 4 and 5 in the afternoon so that they could get a front row seat. And that was the beginning of 21 nights of revival, and our whole city got ignited with revival. Everything changed after that. For 3.5 years, we were in revival. It was amazing. Okay. It's a wonder. The fire is a wonder. Okay, it reveals the glory of God. The fire reveals the glory of God. It releases healing. A lot of times when people are getting healed, they'll feel hot or they'll feel the burnings. It bears witness to Christ's presence. What is the fire? Well, we know God the Father is fire. It says in Hebrews 12 that our God is a consuming fire. Not just that he has fire, but he is a consuming fire. We know Jesus Christ is the fire. It says in Ezekiel 1 that he's fire from the loins up and fire from the loins down. The Holy Spirit is the fire. Angels manifest as fire. It says that they're flames of fire. And fire is a manifestation of the glory. The fire of God will have different effects on different people. We've already talked about that. Fire affects wood differently than gold. Fire has a different effect on wax than clay. It depends on the condition of the heart. Okay, do you want to receive fire? Yes. How do you receive fire? You receive it by faith. It's the same. Do you see that the promise of the fire is for you as a covenant believer? Does God want you to have fire? Then it's yours. So how do you receive it? By faith. Okay, so commit yourself completely to the Lord. Lord, I'm yours. I'm completely yours. Repent from any known or unconfessed sin. Become a holiness freak. That's awesome. And next, believe. Believe that the fire is a promise for you. And then just receive it by faith. Thank you, Lord. I'm being filled with your fire now. Every day, I have the fire within me now. Let it burn brighter and brighter. Let it burn stronger and stronger. You see, you receive it by faith. Now, it doesn't matter if you feel something or not. The moment you receive, remember Mark 11? When you pray, believe that you receive. We have an intercessory prayer course called FIRE. Whoa. Fervent intercession for revival and evangelism. And we teach very strongly in there, when you pray, believe that you have received and you'll have it. Oh, so if you're believing right now, you have the fire. Women over 50, they get a lot of manifestations of the fire. I started making those decrees. So, you know, when I went through a certain stage of life, I thought, oh, glory to God, there's that fire purging me again. Getting me ready to reveal more glory. Okay, and then soak. Someone asked me during the break, how do I soak? How do I soak? I want to soak. And I thought, well, you just rest and believe and focus. Soak. You know, with a candle that burns with oil, you got to soak the wick in the oil. Holy Spirit, we soak in your presence. We want to stay oiled up. And so when you're soaking, basically all you're doing is you're just receiving and focusing on the Lord and His goodness. And you're getting filled. Oh, thank you, Lord. You're filling me up. That's how you soak. I'm getting soaked in your presence. I'm so full of oil that even a little spark would get this fire going. Whoa, I am ready to burn. Thank you, Lord. So just soak in His presence. And how do you do that? By faith. Stay focused on Him. And then respond to God with a thankful heart. Lord, thank you that you've ignited me with fresh fire. I have fresh zeal, fresh passion, fresh wonders on the inside of me because I'm a carrier of your fire. I'm going to burn for you as a flame of your glory. You know, and you start focusing on that and continue in that, and more fire will manifest. It'll do its work. Whether you feel anything or not isn't the issue. Remember that faith is the evidence of things, what? Not seen. Well, it's the substance of things hoped for, yes, but it's the evidence of what you cannot see. Okay. Hindrances to receiving the fire. Unbelief is always a hindrance, of course. If you waver in unbelief, you'll receive nothing from the Lord. Lack of understanding on covenant and new creation realities. If you don't know that all the blessings are already yours, then it's going to be hard to receive them. Oh my gosh, I'm just feeling the fire now. Thank you, Father. Anyone else feeling the fire? Oh my gosh. I just got the burnings, you know, and it's not a hot flash. I'm not flashing right now. Wow. Wow. Thank you, Lord. How many of you are burning in your hands? Put up your hand. How many of you have burning in your feet? How many of you are burning in your head, on your face? How many of you are burning in your chest? How many of you are burning in other places? Oh my gosh. There's the burnings are here. And some of you are actually feeling the manifestation. Sometimes wherever you're burning, it is a prophetic indication of what God is doing. Like if your feet are burning, sometimes it's an empowerment that you're receiving for evangelism. If your hands are burning, oftentimes it's an impartation of a healing ministry. Sometimes you'll get different manifestations of the glory. Sometimes when large amounts of provision come into our ministry, this is weird, but I get an itchy left palm for days before it manifests, just a few days before it manifests, I'll get this itchy left palm. It's like a burning on the inside of it. And the Lord told me, it was a sign for me. He said, in wisdom's left hand are riches, honor, and long life. And he said, this is a sign when I give you these burnings or the itching on the left hand, it's a sign that it's coming. And it releases your faith for it, but it happens every single time, without fail, every single time. So sometimes the burning of the hands could be more provision coming in, or it could be a healing anointing that's being imparted to you. Or if you're a musician, it could be like, let's say you're a keyboard player or you play a guitar or something. It could mean something to do with that. Ask the Lord, because the burnings are significant. Sometimes if there's burning in the head, it means that there's further understanding coming to you. When your lips are burning or your tongue is burning, sometimes it's speaking of an acceleration of anointing to preach or to communicate the gospel. When your heart's burning, it's a witness of the presence of God, and sometimes your heart gets enlarged with passion for Him. So wherever you're burning, sometimes there's a prophetic value in that. Ask the Lord. Whoa! Ask the Lord what it is. Sometimes when an angel walks by, I can feel so much glory pressure. It's like electrical current comes. And that's why I do that. Whoa! You know, it's not because I've got anything wrong with me. I'm not spastic or anything. It's just that sometimes I can feel them pass by, and it releases almost like an electrical current, and I can actually feel it. And it's like, whoa! You know, and I like it. It's not a hard thing. I actually like it, but it's like if you stick your finger inside of an electrical socket, you would have a reaction. Whoa! Fear of the unknown sometimes keeps people from receiving in the Spirit. The fear of not receiving Sometimes people are so uptight. Oh, what if I don't receive? What if I don't receive? And they're so out here wondering, oh, am I going to receive? That they don't rest and they're not able to receive. Jealousy and competition. Sometimes people are jealous of other people who have it, and there's a covetousness. We should always rejoice when other people get things, but not have that jealousy that goes on and feeling like it should be me and not them, and it's not fair that they get it and not me. It's like it's for everybody. You know, everybody can have the glory. But if someone else that seems to manifest more than you or whatever, just rejoice with them. I find the more I rejoice over people, the more I get blessed when I'm not even looking for it. If you have a critical or judgmental attitude, that'll sometimes cut you off from any kind of manifestation of the glory. Unconfessed sin in your life or lack of consecration to the Lord. And so, Father, we just let you know right now that we want your fire. If it's you, Lord, we want it. And so, Lord, we just ask that you just bring it fully into our life. We love you. We adore you. And we thank you for the fire that you've given to us right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
For more information about Patricia King and XP Media, visit us online at xpmedia.com. We look forward to building relationship with you. xpmedia.com.